Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 23, please. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." I want to speak to you tonight about the character quality of diligence. Diligence. The word diligence is visualizing each task as a special assignment from the Lord and using all my strengths to accomplish it. The opposite of diligence is slothfulness or laziness. A dictionary definition is diligence is learning. I'm sorry, not a dictionary definition, but another definition. Learning to study the scriptures for accurate insight and interpretation. Relating all other learning around the truth of scripture. Applying energy and concentration to assigned task. When you study your work, do you anticipate that God will evaluate it? He will. Do you study your work in order to honor the name and reputation of Christ? Do you prayerfully develop a schedule for your daily task and seek to keep it? Are you growing in Christ-like qualities and the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, are you diligently adding to your faith? 2 Peter chapter number 1. Are you diligently pursuing what God has called you to do? Are the people you hang around diligent or slothful? I think it's important for us today that as we think about this characteristic, and there's probably more than we could say in just a few short minutes, but it's pretty clear from Scripture that God puts a premium on diligence. And I think, simply put, in order to please the Lord, you must be diligent. That's what's going to happen. And so let's look at a number of things as we look through the Word of God. And I'm going to move through these quickly tonight because we could camp on each one and really spend quite a bit of time. But I want us to see, first off tonight, the rewards of diligence. The rewards of diligence. Number one, diligence is necessary, or we could say essential, for spiritual growth. We've already referenced 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot, and blameless." 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, "And you'll seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart." Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat." So diligence is necessary or essential if we're going to grow spiritually. But number two, diligence is necessary to achieve God's purpose for you, what He wants for you ultimately in your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things," he's referencing back to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance. He says, "If you do these things, ye shall never fall." The assurance that you will have in your own heart and life. So it's essential for our spiritual growth. It's necessary or essential to achieve what God wants for us to do. Number three, diligence is necessary to have a good reputation. Proverbs 11, verse 27 says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor." Proverbs 22 and verse 29, "Seest thou man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." You know, the fourth area that's kind of a reward for diligence, if you will, is diligence is necessary to be successful in business and finance. The Bible says, "Be careful that success in business and finance is not your God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." But Proverbs 10 and verse 4 says, "The hand of the diligent maketh rich." Proverbs 21 and verse 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." It's interesting, the slothful have as many desires for success as people who are successful. They just don't have the character to perform it. I've said before, but I know people who could be fairly well off, but they're poor, and the reason they're poor is because they're lazy. It's not that they've been given a disadvantage. They just don't have the diligence to do what they're supposed to do. Number five, diligence is necessary for leadership. "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule," Proverbs 12 and verse 24 says. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things," the Word of God says. Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. So, if you want these things in your life as rewards, if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to achieve God's purpose, if you want to have a good reputation, if you want to be successful in business, in finances, if you want to have the right kind of leadership, all of those things you have to have diligence for. You can't be lazy and accomplish those things for God. So the rewards of diligence. But number two, we see the results of slothfulness in the Bible. Well, what does God show us about slothfulness in the Word of God? It has a lot to say about it. Slothfulness leads to poverty, hunger, and begging. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." In other words, he decided not to work when it was time to put in the seed, and so when it came to harvest time, he didn't have anything to show for it. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man, Proverbs 6 tells us. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, "If any would not work, neither should he eat." It's part of that process. Slothfulness leads to poverty. It leads to hunger. It leads to begging. Slothfulness leads to failure. "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Yet he coveteth greedily all the day long," Proverbs 21, 25, and 26 tells us. He wants something, but he's not willing to do the work to get it. The third thing we see about slothfulness is slothfulness leads to sinful action. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter number 25 tonight. You're familiar with this story. Matthew 25. In verse 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that received 2, and you know the story. If you go down just a few verses, verse 20 says, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained besides them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He called them good. He called them faithful. He promoted them to be ruler over much. He honored them before others. He increased them. He said that they had joy in verses 21 and 23. But only those who were diligent got that. The man who had five and he produced five, same commendation as the one that had two and produced two. It didn't have to do necessarily with their ability. God had already given them according to their ability. It didn't have to do with their diligence. How diligent were they with what God had given them and how God responded to them? But notice what he says to the one who did not do right. Listen to the judgment. In verse 25, he has fear. He has insecurity. In verse 26, he's wicked and lazy, the Bible says. A slothful servant. Wow. The difference in a man who is diligent and a man who is slothful. Number three tonight, let's look at resisting slothfulness, or we could say how do we get the character quality of diligence? I wish that I could say tonight, you know what? You can be diligent by just coming up here and I'll drop a little bottle of water on your head or wave this little magic wand over you or whatever. But you do know that it takes diligence to be diligent, right? That's part of what we don't like. In other words, you're going to have to impose some strict disciplines in your life in order to be diligent. There's a number of things that the Word of God says that will help us in this regard. Number one, learn the discipline of rising early. Diligence is up early at a task. Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Proverbs 8 and verse 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." If you want to solve that problem, just get old and you'll wake up early anyway, right? But you need to be up early, accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. So not only rising early, but arising quickly. Proverbs 26 and verse 14, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and that thou shalt be satisfied with bread," Proverbs 20 verse 13 says. Proverbs 24 verses 33 and 34, "Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." What's going to happen? Your poverty is going to come. "How long wilt thou love sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep?" Again, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep," Proverbs 6, 9 and 10 tells us. So learn the discipline of rising early and rising quickly to accomplish what God has for us. But also discipline your life on a daily basis by establishing a schedule and diligently seeking to accomplish it. The Bible gives us some admonitions along this area. He says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." Well, what exactly does God want us to consider? Well, you say, well, her ways. Okay, what are those ways? What do we know about the ant? Well, we know that the ant doesn't need necessarily someone to tell it what to do. It has a task to do, and it's going to go about it tenaciously. I don't know how many of you have ever seen some videos or something where they've taken an ant bed and poured molten in it, where it just kind of locked in, and then they dug around it. One particular one, I think, was in Africa, and they poured this molten, like a steel-type stuff. It wasn't steel, but it was something like that, into this ant bed to try to see how extensive it was. And then they took a backhoe and began to dig around this thing. It was incredible. In some cases, they can have tunnels that go miles. Diligence. And when God chooses for us to study something, he says, go to the ant. Consider her. See how she functions. Psalms 90 and verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might," Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 tells us. Proverbs 12 and verse 27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious." So discipline your life on a daily schedule of what God wants you to do and how he wants you to accomplish it. I think the third way that you can demonstrate diligence in your life is to take care of what God's given you. Currently, Proverbs 24 verses 30 and 31 says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Couldn't even take care of that which God had given him. Not only that, but we need to guard carefully even our appearance. We'll represent our diligence. We should do things decently in order. The context of 1 Corinthians 14 obviously is a different context, but the application is there. We've got to be careful that we guard our associations, who we hang around, our friends and so forth, because we know that they impact us as well. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So even how we choose the friends that we're going to be around and what they teach us is important. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Lastly tonight, we ask the question, did Jesus Christ possess this character quality? I want to read for you just a number of verses that demonstrate. You could answer the question. But notice what our Lord says in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." John 19, 28 and following, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Exactly what God had asked for him to do, he completely accomplished. Amazing character. This is an area in our life where you're probably going to have to evaluate. Am I too diligent? You're like, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean? Can I be too diligent? Actually, you can. You could be a workaholic and not rest like you're supposed to. God wants the balance that comes there, right? God allowed us to sleep and eat and rest and those kind of things, but at the same time, he also wants us to be diligent. One of the sessions I do in one of the classes I teach in the assistant pastor classes, I teach them a whole session on rest and a whole session on being lazy. Because you need to balance those two things. There's times when you need to rest. There's times when you need to work hard. Do what God has asked you to do. Most of you in this room are diligent people. You probably didn't necessarily, quote-unquote, need this message tonight. But it's good for us to be reminded of what we're supposed to accomplish and what our day is supposed to be about. And can I do all that God has for me today? And what does God have for me to do today? Am I accomplishing what I want to do today or what He wants me to do today? And do I have a well-ordered schedule that says, okay, God, what about this? And is this what you want me to do today? Or could you change my plans or whatever? So we ask God to help you obey His word and become diligent like our Lord and Savior was. So just as we think about some applications here, why do we, just talk to me a little bit tonight, we only have a few minutes, but why do we tend towards extremes? Why do we tend towards extremes? By the way, the question assumes that we do, right? Colin? Okay. Okay, great point. So it's a reaction to something that we've seen, maybe in someone's done to us or something that we've seen in someone else's life. And so then that reaction is we move too far the other direction. Great, good. Someone else. What do we tend towards extremes? John? Right. Okay, so it's just, it's so hard to be balanced in that process. Dale? Okay. Okay, that's what we know, and it can be familiar with us. And if we allow God to order our day, He might put us in a position that's not so comfortable for us. He likes to do that some. Brother Kevin? Okay. Okay, so where our focus is will cause that balance to be out of whack, and that's very true. Who am I seeking to please today in my life in general and so forth? That'll help us in that process. Someone else, why do we tend towards extremes? Yes, Carrie? Okay, so the tendency for us to not be dependent on others can make us tend towards extremes. We need each other to balance. And so for some of you in here, God has made you a certain way, and God wanted you to be balanced with someone else. So that's a great point in how we work through those as we tend towards that. Yes, Lisa? Okay. Okay. It's so true. And here's the really rub, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it here, is the real reason why we tend to be extremes is because we have a sin nature. And Satan loves to exploit even good things to bad proportions. Okay, so he can't create anything. He can just take something good and exploit it. And so he will cause someone, for instance, to love the ministry so much that they work themselves to death in the ministry and forsake their family. And he's perfectly fine to do that because in the process they've destroyed a family or whatever in that. So he loves for us to be extreme because God is a God of balance. Brother Bob? Okay. That's true. Okay, so it's just work. Yeah, don't get all that right. And that's a great point that Brother Bob brought up is what was a balanced position 20 years ago may not be a balanced position today for us. We may have to move some. For instance, I think it's really hard right now for a lady with a bunch of children at home to be as involved, for instance, maybe in an outside ministry as a lady who doesn't have children at home. Maybe she has more time to do that or whatever. There's going to be times in life when, okay, maybe I could spend more energy here when I'm not when I'm no longer spending my energy over here or whatever that may be. And so constantly working through that balance as we change, as our seasons of life change and so forth. As Brother Ronnie said on the video tonight, I can't work as hard as I used to. That's just the reality of it as we age and some of those kind of stuff. Yes, Ms. Levanna? Okay, so is this what God wants me to do or what everybody else wants me to do, which would link back to Brother Kevin's, what's really my motive? Am I pleasing God or am I going to please someone else? The balance is difficult, no question about that. And you'll find yourself, I think life in general is like standing on the top of a teeter-totter. You know, it's just kind of like constantly moving, unless currently you're where Rebecca is and her teeter-totters are buried in snow. So the kids, you're trying to dig them out, but they're dead level because there's snow's up that high. But it's constant. But the Bible is a balanced book, isn't it? There's a time to plant, and there's a time to harvest. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. And there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. The balance of that. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Do you see that balance there? And our job is to be in balance with what God wants for us. And because we have a sin nature, boy, we constantly have to work at that. But I can tell you, God wants us to be diligent even at that aspect of our life, of the balance that he has for us. So.